Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. Bye, happy post-Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Sweet little week before another season begins.
Happy holidays officially.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we want to welcome you.
It feels weird to say happy holidays sometimes.
Because you're
heretic? Yeah, it makes you feel like you're not allowed to say, but really, when you started with Thanksgiving, I think the appropriate greeting is happy holidays.
Happy holidays, season's greetings.
Yeah.
You know, there's like 30-something holidays that people celebrate in this time period, so we're just being accepting and festive for everyone. This is Church Drunk.
People who love Jesus still celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah, everybody celebrates Thanksgiving, except for those who, you know, celebrate the actual day of National Day of Mourning. Have you heard of this? Because the Native Americans were, like, still horribly abusing.
I mean,
it's not funny,
it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. So would they argue then that the Native Americans should have just let the pilgrims die? Because I feel
probably.
Like
probably. I mean, there's the internet is like overflowing with memes right now about, you know, white people landed on the shores undocumented. Like, you fill in the joke, you know, create your own joke adventure. But anyway, that brings me to one of our church drunk warnings, which is
filling in jokes.
We're Catholic. You don't have to be.
Right.
We still say season's greetings, happy holidays to you, and
Merry Christmas.
I knew that was coming. Baby Jesus wishes you a happy holiday. All right.
Well, baby Jesus would wish you a happy Hanukkah, wouldn't he?
Hanukkah.
Yeah.
L'chaim.
Okay, so.
That's my baby Jesus voice, in case you didn't know.
I hope he comes back later. Wow, guys. All right, so we're Catholic. You don't have to be.
Sometimes we swear.
Sometimes we swear, like Merry fucking Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, it might be appropriate.
Right.
And,
I don't even know what else we have to warn
The other
about.
Thing is we sometimes approach the line of heresy and blasphemy, and not because we mean to, except when we do. So if that offends you, you shouldn't listen, and you've been warned.
Yeah.
And I am Dizzy, here with guests.
Hello.
And we're happy to be back, church drunking. So here, and cheers.
Cheers.
Tell us, guess, what are we toasting?
Well, let's see. You have our seasonal cocktail. We call it Thanksgiving in a glass.
It's pretty amazing.
It's a Manhattan with a little bit of pumpkin spice bitters. So for those of you that are not familiar with Manhattan, I'm pretty sure we've highlighted it before.
Yeah, it never hurts, though. Maybe somebody hasn't made it at home.
It's usually a 3-to-1 ratio of bourbon and sweet vermouth. So like 3 parts bourbon, 1 part sweet vermouth.
Okay.
Splash of water, if you're of that persuasion. I am not.
I was going to say, am I? Because guess is often the mixologist for me.
And little simple syrup in there. And then usually we would go with like a maraschino cherry, perhaps a little cherry juice, and dash of Angostura bitters. But for Thanksgiving in a glass, you go with the Manhattan base and then a little bit of pumpkin spice bitters. Mm.
Yeah.
And some candied cranberries instead of.
Oh, and let me speak to both of those seasonal elements. Yeah. So if you think you are too cool for school and don't like pumpkin spice because there's pumpkin spice everywhere and you're not that basic, you should try it in your Manhattan. You might be. It's quite delicious.
It's moderation is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't over pumpkin spice.
Yeah, it's festive. And then the candied cranberries are the easiest thing to make. And shout out to listener who told us how to make these.
Yeah.
You just gently froth some egg white.
Yes.
Don't worry about salmonella. You only live once. And then you roll some fresh cranberries in it. Try not to get the foamy bits stuck on the cranberry. Just lightly coat it and then into sugar. Let them dry on a rack, and it is adult gummy bears, Mrs. Guest told us.
Sounds a bit naughty, doesn't it? Gently frothing one's egg whites.
Well,
what are you doing
it is
in
the
there?
Season.
You've been in that bathroom forever. I'm just gently frothing my egg whites.
You know, the female persuasion of us, we're not concerned about it.
Yeah.
We've got eggs all the time.
Yeah.
Just let it go. So anyway, I've got a festive, which you can tell is almost empty perhaps. And what about you? You have your own fancy cocktail.
So we dug into our handy dandy Drinking with the Saints
book. Shout out to Michael P. Foley getting us through all the drinking.
And took a look at the late November feast days and accompanying cocktails and stumbled across St. James Intercissus.
Intercissus.
Okay. Coming up on November 27th.
Yeah,
and we'll just give it to you straight here. St. James Intercissus means cut to pieces is where
like
he gets that
scissors name.
So we already know about his manner of martyrdom.
Oh, poor St. James.
So he was a military officer in the court of King Yezdegerd I'm pretty sure I'm saying that wrong. Mm. The first of Persia. And the king began persecuting Christians. And James, put before the king, decided to... This is the first time that we've heard this word verbed. He apostatized?
Okay.
Is that how you would go with that pronunciation?
I mean, I... Yeah. What else could you do? Apostatize?
Became an apostate.
Yeah.
As the king died, or after the king died, James's wife and mother apparently read him the riot act for his cowardice in not sticking to his faith. So the new king, Bahram the Fifth.
Wow. Yeah. This is really complicated.
My Persian pronunciation is on
point. I don't
know
how else she would say these words, though. I'm with you.
So new king calls him to court and asks him to apostatize once again.
Double down.
And he doesn't hesitate this time to profess his faith. And his sentence was to be slowly cut into 28 pieces. Very particular.
Wow.
Each time he lost a part of his body, St. James prayed, "Oh, Savior, receive a branch of this tree. Let it die corrupt in the grave and bud again before being covered in glory." James's harrowing story reminds us that apostates can become saints, cowards can become brave, and Persians can become Christian, according to Michael P. Foley.
And that mothers can shame you into letting yourself be scissored to death.
Being scissored to death.
Interstices. He was scissored into 28 pieces. That is what I heard in this story.
Yet another thing where they're knocking on the door being like, "What are you doing in there?
My egg whites are almost frothed, Mom. Leave me alone.
I'm being scissored to death. Help."
That's it. You go to King Yezdegerd.
King Yezdegerd. So to honor St. James, who was scissored to death, you drink, and his lovely prayer of the image of the body as a tree being brought to new life. You drink a lone tree cocktail. So it's equal parts gin, dry vermouth, and sweet vermouth. And then four dashes, a healthy dose of orange bitters thrown into the mix. And then I did top it off with a couple of our candied cranberries.
Yeah.
And I must say, I was hesitant because of the amount of dry vermouth. I'm not a big dry vermouth fan.
Oh, okay.
But it's quite tasty.
It's a balanced cocktail. I snuck a little sip. Yeah. I think anyone would enjoy it. So we encourage you to pour yourself something festive.
Yeah.
Or saintly, or both.
So here's to St. James the Scissorer.
Oh, glad he lived to inspire us.
So this is more or less officially the beginning of our newest season of Church Drunk.
Yes.
We did have a bonus episode that we dropped not too long ago. And that was kind of the end of last season / beginning of this season. And now we're into sort of the beginnings of our Advent season and holidays run and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, Diz, what are we going to be, like, conversing on?
Okay, so... Really love Advent. It's my favorite of the church drunken seasons and the liturgical seasons because it's really not too long.
Yeah.
It's the perfect length.
It is, yeah.
To get in there and feel a full weight of a season. This is no triduum.
Yeah.
It takes enough time.
No, here's 4 weeks and go open your presents.
And I can go.
If that, not even 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's a penitential season that's also like hopeful and joyful. It's just, I feel like it's a great paradox, much like Church Drunk. It's our heart season. So this year we wanted to, because we're starting this week of Thanksgiving, to start with gratitude. And that made us think about the Examine, which is one of our favorite devotional prayers, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about it more than once.
Yeah, we've definitely highlighted the Examine before. And you know, we're both slightly Jesuitish.
Got a little
Ignatius. Yeah. So St. Ignatius of Loyola, who we definitely have talked about. And this was his favorite method of prayer.
Yep.
Something that he passed along to his buddies as they started the whole Society of Jesus kind of crew, and that's grown into this big Ignatian tradition that has schools and universities around the world.
And it's this beautiful form of prayer because it's very personal to you. It's meant to be done every day or many times a day or once a week, like whatever you can do. Lots of flexibility, and we're going to be kind of playing with that aspect. But it does sort of have this pattern, right? You start with gratitude, becoming aware of God's presence. You examine your life, the good and the bad, and then you look forward and you kind of invite God to do that whole process with you.
Yeah.
So for us, we wanted to turn that into a Lenten weekly devotion.
Yeah. And it does, I think one of the great things about sort of the traditional holiday season, you know, and no matter where you stand on Christmas and why you celebrate it and, you know, what is the reason for the season and all that kind of stuff. It really begins in earnest with, well, actually it goes back to like, you know, Halloween and the Feast of All Saints and the Feast of All Souls and Dia de los Muertos and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that kind of connects us with the people who have walked the faith journey ahead of us.
Like St. James the Scissor.
St. James the Scissor. And then from there you go to Thanksgiving, which, yep. you know, like I really do think that stopping to take a breath and just be grateful for the blessings in your life yeah. is a wonderful way to start sort of the true chaos of the holiday season, right? Because it really does kick into high gear on Black Friday, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If you participate in that nonsense, you need some examining right. to help you navigate. So there
was, you know, like Ignatius was onto something yeah. with his idea of like, before you do anything else, stop, take a breath, count your blessings, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that collectively we yeah. do that as a community and as a society. And I think it's actually really sad, you know, not to get on the soapbox too much, but, like, Thanksgiving has become something that people refer to as, like, this stressful thing, like, ugh, holidays and family and ew and
oh, and the politics, how, you, how am I going to yeah, handle that relative? How are you going to handle
sitting around the table with your family and stuff? And I'm like, but wait, like, enjoy a meal and count your blessings. And, yeah. be, you know, even if it's not something that's easy to do with your family, like, there is something internal that you can do to just be like, I'm going to breathe, you know, I'm going to be okay.
And I think, okay, this sounds weird, but like it can almost be a thing where you feel guilty about counting your blessings. Because yeah. if you have to stop and think about your blessings,
right.
maybe you realize that you've got the basics covered, which is more than so many
right.
don't, right? Yeah. So right now we're in this horrible, tumultuous time. We're seeing all these atrocities everywhere and just general suffering. I know for me, it's easy to be like, I'm not going to think about it too yeah. much.
Well, and I right? I tend and to, like, bitch and moan, like, a lot over the course
of venter,
the last few are. Years. It's like everything makes me feel enraged. And yes. I think I'm not alone in that. Like,
hashtag
I think
rageousness.
Everything makes a lot of people feel enraged. And yeah. we see people that act out on that rage. And we see, like, just this yes. real yes. angry streak
so
right now.
So your rage at it
right.
and my avoidance of it.
Yeah.
can both be helped by gratitude because exactly. if you're open to it and you are going to just sincerely think about the things that you have that you are grateful for, it can bring you to an okay place with it because gratitude doesn't say that somebody else has to have it good for you to be grateful.
Right.
Or that things are just everywhere for you to be grateful for what you do. Like
yeah.
it seems obvious, but that intentional shift of your mind to force yourself to say no, like aside from all that, I am still going to right. express my gratitude, my thanks to God for what I have.
Yeah. And you don't have to have a lot, you know, I mean,
no.
there's, and there are people that we know who yeah. have lost everything
right.
and still are going to find ways to parse through that and find something yeah. to be grateful for.
Yeah. You know? So gratitude is like one of those simple, but deceptively kind of tough, and it's a good starting place exercise.
Yeah.
Right? So we encourage you guys, if you're grateful for something, to think about it, pray about it, yeah. tell us about it if you want.
Yeah. And so what we're going to be doing for our sort of beginning of this season, for yeah. the Advent portion of this season, which we yeah. end up kind of moving past Christmas and into the new year eventually with this stretch of podcasts usually. Yeah. Is we're going to start with gratitude, and we'll talk a little bit about that today. But then we're going to kind of move through the different sort of stepping stones yeah. of the examen as well. So right. we'll take a look at what's good, and we'll take a look at what's bad, and we may do what's bad first because it's really right there.
Well,
in our
you know, the other part about Advent that is beautiful is that it starts in darkness,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we have to start, and then we're in the depth of winter, the days are short, so there's metaphorical darkness and,
right.
you know, real darkness around us. So we're going to kind of flip-flop those steps.
Yeah.
And we told you guys we were not going to be avoidant anymore. We finished our summer of escapist yeah. literature.
Exactly.
And hit on some of the stuff in the church that is pretty dark.
Yeah. We did. When we started out the podcast, we thought it would be, you know, something where it's like, okay, we're going to talk about real issues in the church.
Yeah.
And then we hit, if you remember, we hit kind of that golden era where it was like the Pope had just done his, like, U.S. visits and stuff, and everybody was kind
right,
of happy about where the church
on joy
was
and the environment.
And it was like,
yeah.
what the hell is this crap? we're supposed to be angry about where our church
our
is at.
Our outrageousness feels muted.
Yeah. And then when all of a sudden we had real reasons to be upset with where the church was at, we pretty much just put our heads in the sand for a while. We're like, let's read a book.
Anybody read a book about this alternate universe? Let me tell you about it. It's really great. So coming back to reality, and once again, gratitude's a great starting, a gentle entry, but a real entry to that. So today we want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
What are we grateful for?
Yeah. And I think, you know, like I said, I'm a bitcher and a moaner, and I struggled this year, you know, to be really finding things, you know, like that. I mean, obviously there's, and part of the reason I struggle is because I think family and friends is like cheating
the cop
when it comes
out
to gratitude. Yeah,
for like, sure. Yeah. Nobody's allowed to say family and friends. No.
Right? But obviously this, as we spoke about in the bonus episode, this being a year where my family grew, you know,
drunk.
Like, I am grateful for little baby Guess, and like that's exciting, and I'm grateful for Mrs. Guess, who's able to keep him alive every day, something that I probably couldn't do.
I mean, let's not test it.
So you know, like there's the very obvious, but then like when I try and think beyond that, I was kind of like, huh.
Yeah, it's
what am I grateful for this year?
Okay, well,
and then
you,
I feel like an asshole because.
But
it's so,
and that is what the examine will do to you.
Exactly.
Heads up, everybody.
Yeah,
if you do the examine well, you will hit a point where you're like, wow,
I'm an asshole.
Yeah. But don't worry, there's another step. You'll feel better, hopefully. You shouldn't stay in that place, but it might happen.
Yeah.
It's being real with oneself. Okay, well, did you come to something else besides
that? I did.
Well,
one of the things...
I don't want to interrupt your gratituding here.
One of the things that I found that I was grateful for, and this is like when I think about what am I grateful for in the church tradition.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for, and it sounds so weird to say it, but I'm grateful for the sacraments. Like, the more I think about it, the more I get, and it's more what it represents, you know, than like what they are, you know, like you go to church, you get your cracker, big deal.
he was so close to that blasphemy.
What I love is, I know, I almost had
I'm a perfect grateful for going. The sacraments, but not the cracker part.
Right. Well, okay. What I love is that it roots us in the real world, that we don't live with our head in the clouds, and that we can say that there is something tangible that we hold on to in this world. We don't have to reject this world. And so that for me ties into Thanksgiving and the season of feasting and all of the excess.
All these sensory pleasures.
Yeah. And it's like that you can find God in that, and we actually have hard and fast teachings and doctrine in the church that say you can find God in the real world.
And that your real world matters.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the beautiful parts of our faith, is that we talk about and have an official teaching and in our sacramental practice that your actual physical self, your experience of the world is holy and matters, and that suffering and that pleasure are both important in your spiritual life. So,
and it gives us a church where it's like
there's
water and there's candles and there's bread and there's wine and there's all of these things.
Smells and bells,
man. Like they are real physical things that remind us and call us back to our relationship with God. So that's something that I am grateful for, especially in the season where all those symbols become more prevalent. And I'm like, that is a symbol, and it's a really good one, and it's an important one. And some could argue that it's more than a symbol. They might be wrong. I don't know, but you could argue it.
I mean, you already disrespected the biggest symbol that's not a symbol.
More than a symbol, I think, is like kind of a silly phrase, right?
Right.
Symbols are powerful.
Yes.
Symbols
are
important.
I'm just giving you shit. Okay.
So, what about you?
Wow.
What are you grateful for?
Blew me away. I'm like a little, I guess.
What happens when you don't have like a good list, then all of a sudden you start thinking harder.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, maybe I should be more grateful for stuff.
Well, as you admit, maybe go to the ragey, complainy side. I have become pretty avoidant. So, like, even my, gratitude list had, qualifiers on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm grateful for this because I've got it better than that
person
over there. Which is not really sincerely
means you're
grateful.
Not in a great spot,
I mean,
when you start looking around and going, who's got it worse than me?
Well, yeah, and it's like everybody, like most of the planet, like once again, then you're like, because I'm an asshole,
right?
Like I have clean water and shelter and nothing terribly wrong.
But I'm not grateful for that shitbag over there that's just sitting fat and happy, has it better than me.
But by the way, the Dorito of Doom is still there, Lord. Therefore, I will not count any blessings until you fix it. I'm like Jonah, you know? Nothing makes me happy.
Jonah.
No, it's not true. It's not true. So
patron saint of marine biologists.
The thing, and it's like, even when I'm like, nature is usually like at the top of my gratitude list, right?
Yeah.
Like nature makes me happy and grateful. And it's, once again, the beauty and the realness and the physicality of it is holy. Yeah. So I am grateful for nature. I even could think of a qualifier for that, though. I'm like, while it still exists. While we're doing our best to destroy it.
Melt it. / freeze it.
Yeah. But when I finally came, you know, and I am grateful for nature and I am grateful for friends and family and all the basics. Like, I really do have to put the basics at the top of the list. Like, right. I don't think that's terribly wrong to compare to others and say, like, I should be grateful for the basics.
Yeah.
But to go beyond that, I actually think the body of Christ is beautiful. I've had kind of that feeling lately where I am resentful sometimes in my sacramental witness and attendance. And I look around, though, and think, this is beautiful, even the mess of the people. And so I'm experiencing a bit of a paradox where I am pretty disgusted with humanity and also think they're quite lovely in the micro, up-close, messy version.
Interesting.
So I'm feeling very gospel Christian-y these days in my experience of it, and I'm grateful for that lens.
So the mess. You're grateful for the mess.
I'm grateful for the mess and those who are showing up.
Interesting.
I've seen people lately. And usually I'm the opposite, where I kind of love people in the abstract and totally hate them in the present.
I
feel that I'm actually looking through a slightly different lens at this moment.
Nice.
So I'm grateful for a different perspective, perhaps, is what I should say.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is, like, I noticed, you know, I'm full disclosure, not the greatest weekly churchgoer, but over the course of the last couple of weeks, when I have been able to make it for my Sunday obligation, it's getting to be that time of year where the church starts to fill up a little bit more, you know, and you start to see the families and the face of the church becomes a little bit more pleasant. Coming out of those lean summer months where it's like nobody's going to church and you show up, but it is interesting to show up at a church, on a, you know, a Sunday morning in late July, and you see, like, who's actually here, you know? And usually it's kind of a motley crew, you know? So to be able to look at the motley crew and say, this is us.
And they are a mess, but there's like a comfort in it to me. And I mean, I have seen that in the actual church, like in my attendance, but also like in other places, like where people are just there and showing up and doing something little. And you're like, oh, like, that counts somehow. God, that must count.
Yeah.
And I'll count it myself.
For sure.
So, well, we're going to be heading into the deep darkness next time. Usually the first step in the exam is looking back over whatever time frame and looking for where you saw God present and when you were answering that call, being your best self
There's a lovely moment in the exam where, you know, you start with gratitude. And some people flip-flop the first couple steps. Some people kind of take a moment to start their prayer and just ask God to be with them.
Yes, and I think that's important.
And sometimes, like, I've seen that as step two. So, and that's the way I tend to do it, is start with gratitude. Like, literally just start with being like, okay, thank you for da-da-da-da-da. And then you go, okay, now I'm inviting God, like, intentionally into this.
Oh, I am the complete opposite. Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
But
either way.
Either way, you know.
God's always president, church drunk.
God is always
president. So it's like step zero for us.
We can't get rid of God. I was going to say him, but then I realized just how sexist I was going to be. Yeah. Usually the next step would be to review your day, review your week, review your whatever, and say, where have I been finding God's spirit moving? And that should kind of point you towards highlights, maybe things that you missed in, you know, in the actual interaction that actually were little God moments. And I think we're going to save that for a couple of weeks from now.
Yep.
And before we do that, we're going to hit that point where you say, okay, well, what have been the things that have been going on in my life where maybe I could have been doing better, where, you know, I was neglectful of my relationship with God. Is there anything that I need
where
to ask
have I
forgiveness
fallen
for?
Down,
yeah,
you know? And I think for us, that's pretty appropriate, because as we just expressed with our gratitude listings, the dark stuff's distracting us right now.
It is.
And so we got to come straight at that. And we're going to talk about that in a global sense, church sense.
So next week we hit a little bit of Advent-y darkness.
Yeah.
But along those lines, there is something that we can say that we are thankful for, and something that we sometimes highlight here on Church Drunk. And we're thankful for a little ray of Pope Hope that has started to shine. I know that there are plenty of people who would say that this is not a ray of shiny, happy, hopeful popiness.
Yeah.
And it was a little jarring when the announcement was made that the U.S. Council of Bishops was supposed to be getting together to develop some new
regulations. One of their regularly scheduled big meetings where voting could happen.
And they were planning on voting.
And they were planning on voting. That was the only two things they were going to do, and one of them was voting.
And it was going to be voting on new sort of procedures, new regulations about how to handle all of this abuse that is rearing its ugly head again.
Yeah.
And all of the ugliness of priests who are abusing their power, taking advantage of innocent children and,
right.
and innocent
and systems that move them around and
exactly,
support and hide
that.
Kind
of shuffle
yeah.
them around.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, word from the Vatican comes and goes, oh, you guys can't do that right
yeah.
now. And they were like,
Papa Frankie
me?
Says you ain't voting on shit.
Yeah. So, and we just recently got a little bit of news about what is.
Yeah. So people were pretty upset and like concerned when they heard that. Cause we're like, well, like the U.S. Conference of Bishops is no like shining example, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. But. You know, we got to let them try.
Yeah.
And so we were concerned, but then guess was one of them. A lot of people said, well, maybe Francis wants everybody on the same page.
Maybe
because
he's just trying to get everybody to, like, slow down
yeah.
and do this properly.
There's a big meeting in February that's a worldwide meeting.
Yeah.
And it turns out that is correct. So Pope Francis wants everybody globally on the same page and has made a special committee
yeah.
to head this. And there's four people he just appointed to it, including Blaise Supich out of mm-hmm. Chicago, the only American put on this, you know, kind of oversight group
yeah.
to set these new rules. And he's a middle of the road,
yeah.
modern person who I think most people in the moderate to progressive sides are confident in him.
Eggshells you're walking on.
He doesn't
there,
say,
dude.
Well,
yeah.
I just want to, because I think everybody's allowed to have their own opinion.
For sure.
Up to a certain point, which
yeah.
is, you know, being idiots,
right.
is my line.
Yes.
But, like, so I don't think Blaise Supich is perfect. I don't really trust any of these bishops, to be honest. So
yeah.
I don't want to, like, praise him too much. That's
right,
the eggshell
right.
I'm really walking. But to say that he is reasonably progressive, he doesn't think homosexuality is the cause for
right.
pedophilia, which I think is the most pat answer that we hear
Seriously.
Out of folks. So
yeah.
Mueller has called him. People don't like him.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign. Like, I feel that
the right people don't like him.
Right. That he's not going to just toe the party line.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. And then there's a guy out of Mumbai,
yeah.
A couple others as well. So
I think
see.
we can be thankful that the ball is rolling.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about why that particular ball has needed to be put in motion.
Oh my gosh. 50
next
years
week.
Ago. Yeah.
But we are grateful for the efforts of people who really are trying to institute some positive changes. I'm grateful for the people who haven't jumped ship, you know?
I was just going to say, for those who are in the trenches,
yeah.
and for those who haven't jumped ship, for sure, because
yeah.
it's not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, half the reason Church Drunk is here...
It's because, like, for some reason we're still on the ship.
Let's stay in this rowboat.
We can't.
Guess.
We
keep
can't
rowing.
I feel like
we
if,
can't jump
in. I feel like if there was other options, we would have taken them.
The
but
thing is, you guys, the ship is beautiful.
It
the ship is beautiful. We think it's going somewhere
we,
good. If the captain would please come back on his frothy foam of the second coming. No, just kidding. But, you know.
I think it's, yeah.
That's
our
hope.
I think that as people who, you know, continue to kind of bang the drum and say, you know, we need to find a place for sane, rational, reasonable
yeah.
conversation in the church. And we need to be inviting people who have left the church because they couldn't find that anymore. We need to invite them back into the dialogue. And I think that
yeah.
when you hear about someone who is willing to reach out and have that conversation, we can be grateful for those people in our church.
Right. And even those who have stepped away but are watching and listening,
for
and
sure.
I think they are there.
With open minds and open hearts. That's what
yes.
we want.
And that is the body of Christ, and that is the church,
yep.
whatever you label it.
That's our goal.
Okay,
so
well,
that'll be next week. We'll move beyond gratitude and get into the deep darkness
yeah.
of Advent and talk about what brought us to this point where we're going, I'm just really grateful for the fact that I'm not the only person that is deciding to stay on this sinking ship. That will be next week's episode
yes.
as we get into.
We're
going to
be back on the weeklies.
Advent proper.
You can tell us what you're grateful for or
yeah.
what darkness or Adventy things we should talk about
yeah.
by emailing us at churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can tweet at us, I guess, at churchdrunkpod.
At churchdrunkpod. And then, yeah, let us know what you're interested in, what you're going to be doing this Advent. What are you grateful for?
Yes.
And if you want to walk through the examine with us, start thinking about what are you maybe not so grateful for in the church or yeah. even in, you know, like it's a personal journey. Yep. You know, what are you doing that maybe could use
a bit of a scrubbing? I think we can promise that if you do the examine, you will get something out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not always easy, but nope. It is useful. It
turns out we're all assholes.
So that's us. We'll be back next week. Feel free to get in touch with us. We appreciate you joining us for the new season.
Thank you, dear listener.
Happy holidays from all of us here. At Church Trunk.
Church Trunk.
Where we're always grateful for the liquor in the glass.
Oh, booziness. And the rowboat that we're on.
And and just our favorite little...
I'm grateful for nature.
Gratitudeness.
You're grateful for the sacraments.
Yeah, keep going, because I'm like...
We're also grateful for... Sure. I said nature. Okay.
I'm grateful for ice cream.
We're grateful for little baby guests.
Little baby guesses.
And yeah. Family and friends.
And family and friends.
And, you know, sugar-coated cranberries.
Cranberries.
Yeah. Cheers. Church drunk. Catch you next time. For another...